Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear radio program. I am your host, Susan Larison-Danz, and I do welcome you on this special day of 11-11-11. And I want to say that whether we view this day in a symbolic sense or a very direct sense, the energy of this day is what you choose to make it. And I do know that many in my audience recognize the significance of the symbolism of 11 and having, and there are a lot of very special things going on today throughout the spiritual community. And I do welcome you here today to spend some time with us. On the Frontier Beyond Fear, we are all about focusing on the paradigm shift that is occurring on this planet, as well as in our personal lives. And today we're going to have a chat with spiritual teacher Bill Foss, who is someone I met in Los Angeles at the Conscious Life Expo. And Bill has a real connection to spirit and a talent for assisting people to reach higher levels of consciousness in a very approachable way. So I'm really happy to have Bill here today on the Frontier Beyond Fear. And we do have a chat room, and I can see some of you have already come into the chat. I will be present in the chat throughout. Now, we will be having a meditative experience at times during this show. We're going to see where we're guided to take it. And you are welcome to be in the chat during that time. And also, Bill and I are going to talk a little bit first. And if you have any questions for Bill at the outset, please feel free to share that in the chat room. So, Bill, welcome. Welcome on this special day to the Frontier Beyond Fear.
Good morning, Susan. Many blessings.
And to you, and to you. it's funny, Bill and I, before the show, were just talking about, I've actually had a somewhat tumultuous morning. Even the week has been a little bit that way, up and down energies. Lots of things occurring, and I find that fascinating because, you know, spiritual experience isn't all about peace every single moment, although we seek that. How do you characterize that, Bill? How do you talk about the different energies that we experience going into a high-energy day like today?
Well, Susan, I also I'd like to say hello to everyone there in the Northwest that's listening, and to everyone around the country and around the world if you're tuning in. Many blessings on this wonderful day of 11-11-11.
And thank you. And yeah, we have listeners in many different locations. That's the beauty of internet radio.
Wonderful. Well, I think the energy of today is of 11-11-11 is special. It's being well noted by not only the spiritual communities, but you have probably noticed that a lot of other businesses and organizations are also advertising the date for one reason or another. So there is a lot of energy and energy information that's coming forth and available to us as this cosmic opening is present. Let's talk just briefly about a couple of dynamics concerning this. Number one, it is special, it's cosmic, it's spiritual, and we can take advantage of this energy. It's heightened. So this is something to be aware of. At the same time, we want to say that we always have this energy available to us. The cosmos doesn't really know what time it is in the deep of space. So this energy that is coming available to the planet, this is something that is always available. The sites of the Earth, the sacred sites or the energetic sites, are being cosmically charged by this energy currently today during the 11/11 experience. And what is amplifying this is the soul energy and the mind energy of everyone associated with the ideas behind coming together for this. So that's a possibility of something that maybe we hadn't considered. So we are always creating or co-creating with creator of the universe or creator source energies, as well as all of the cosmic energy that's available to us.
You know, you raise a really interesting point in that it's almost circular in a way. By anticipating 11/11/11 and celebrating the energy of that day, and then I'm also thinking about 2012 coming up, we essentially are creating the energy as we anticipate it. It's circular. It's fascinating how, and together we're doing this. And I know that there are some interesting things happening today. I had heard, and I don't know if you've heard about this, Bill, and I am not an expert on this, but something about the crystal skulls reuniting in Los Angeles today, which is a very symbolic event from a Mayan perspective. And I don't know if you know anything about that. Maybe you do.
Uh-huh.
If you do, feel free to share. But it's just, to me, yet another thing going on today.
Well, I think that's great, Susan. There are so many there are so many interesting things with not only different locations, different spiritual vortexes, or also very well-noted spiritual teachers and deities that people are working with, elders from different tribes and cultures from around the world are meeting in specific locations. And this is all wonderful. I think one of the things that is important for everyone is to know that you're not left behind in any way. If you're sitting at home and you're not able to be in one of these gatherings, the ego wants to sort of spiral out and think, well, you know, I really need to be involved. I need to get involved in some way. And this is great. This is wonderful. It's creative. It's inspirational. However, if you can't and you've had some thoughts or feelings concerning not being able to be involved, maybe a sadness or melancholy, then just know that wherever you are, you can sit down and take a few breaths and close your eyes and connect into this energy. And we're going to do that here in just a few moments. And also after 11/11, as well as any of the other dynamics that are coming up, we can really sit down and we can go to that time. We, from beyond time, as we expand out, we can come back and access this vortexual energy of the 1111 dynamics. So it's wonderful creative energy to be involved with. And also, Susan, I agree, we are writing it as we go. Mm-hmm. And this is this is half of the equation, if not more so, that is very well noted. We see this dynamic present with the Akashic Records. As we look into the future, we can intuit and look at certain instances or happenings that are seem to be somewhat set in stone. But then as we look at the with the individual, as we look at groups of individuals and larger groups of individuals, all the way up to the soul group of humanity, the mind consciousness of humanity, and the soul group consciousness of humanity, and all of the smaller groups that make these groups up, we see that it becomes a little more amorphous, and it is being written as we go. So this is a wonderful, wonderful dynamic with the 11-11-11 energy, with the 2012 energy. This is really a pro-positive, proactive place that we can operate from. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, and I love what you had to say about the accessibility over time. That is so important for us to realize, that is that this linear time is an illusion. In fact, you know, before the show, one of the things I said to Bill, and actually I've said this on the show, is that I actually feel, and I'm sure you can feel this too, Bill, the presence of those listening to this show in the future, because they are with us energetically. You know, we can gather together in so many ways. We don't have to be physically present together. We don't even need to be together in the same time or space, you know. And often you think of it in terms of space, but not time. And that I know for a fact, you know, there are people who may be working at this hour who are catching just a little bit of the show and may want to play it later to experience the meditation. And I very much feel that they're with us. I mean, as present as anyone listening live.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's it's a really important concept to understand that. And, you know, one of the things that I didn't mention, we kind of launched into the 11-11-11 introduction today, is
sure,
how you do advanced classes on the Akashic Record and entering into that. And I think since that term is used a lot in spiritual circles in many different ways, and you have a very expansive way of looking at what that is, that's something I'd like you to characterize for us and tell us, you know, what is the Akashic Record from your point of view, and what gifts does it have for us?
I would love to do that. I would love to do that, Susan. It is, right now, we're at 13 minutes past the hour. If it's okay, I would like to say an invocation to open the energies for the rest of the show. And then I would like to actually offer a short meditative, a guided meditative experience, so we can go into the rest of the talk.
Okay. Do whatever
Excellent.
You feel led to do. That is fine.
Excellent. Okay. So, planetary logos, Earth Spirit, Divine Celestial Holy Spirit, Elemental Kingdoms, Realms of Pan, Angels and Archangels of the Light of God, Ascended Ones, Kutumi, El Moriah, Guan Yin, Joel Cool, Sanat Kumara, Desikara, Saint Germanus, Setipus Bay, Buddha, Sananda, Jeshua, Mary of Magdala, and Mary of Zephyrus, the Spirit of the Four Directions, Great Spirit, and Holy Tao, Bodhisattvas, Babaji, Merlin, Keepers of the Akashic Records, and divine spirit guides of everyone who's tuned in today and everyone who will come to listen to or utilize the energies presented here in the show today. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful time of opening as we utilize and open into the 11-11-11 vortexual energies. Utilizing the cosmic consciousness from Source, Creator God, first moment. As we witness and stand forth in this energy, and also looking past this energy into the complete field of timelessness that lies within and without, around each and every one of us. Many, many divine blessings to everyone. Peace. Amen. So I would just like to invite everyone out there who is listening to get comfortable. And even if you're listening to this show after the fact, just sit back and relax, whether you're lying down or sitting up, and relax your spine and just be in a peaceful state. Relax your hands. And just start taking some deep breaths. And as you continue to relax, I would like to offer a connection to the healing energy, the healing energies of the universe, the healing field. Offer and send a blessing to each and every person, to their heart, mind, and soul, for the advancement, acceptance, release, love, and understanding, their unfoldment. And also, an energetic message or a blessing of creative energy that we can each utilize in a way that's perfect for each and every one of us. So just continue to relax. Relax, relaxing the feet, relaxing the legs, relaxing the knees, and the upper legs, the thighs, hips, pelvis, and waist, all relaxed. The stomach and lower back is relaxed as you continue to breathe deep and relax, relaxing even deeper. Relaxing now the sides of the body, the torso and the chest, the upper back. Relaxing the shoulders and the arms, the elbows, the forearms, the wrists, hands, and fingers, all relaxed. Relaxing the neck, relaxing the jaws. And feel this healing, relaxing power now moving up over your scalp and washing down over your face and your eyes, your ears, your nose, your cheeks, your mouth. All completely relaxed. And as you continue to relax, I would like you to picture a golden strand of energy connecting with the pineal gland in the center of your head. And this golden strand of energy connects up, 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 up into the Akashic Records, the Hall of Records, God's library, where your Book of Life exists. And just, you may visualize this as a golden hall, or an etheric place, an energetic place. As you use the imagination and the intuition connecting into this energy. And as you connect into the Hall of Records, into the Akashic Records, and continue to breathe and relax, there are some very special beings in the records. The keepers of the records, and also the healers. So I would like you to visualize two light beings. These light beings are coming down as you're connected up into the records. These light beings are coming down. The golden thread of energy is connecting from your pineal gland, your mind, your crown, up into the records. And meanwhile, these beings come down. And one is female, one is male aspects of energy from the higher mind of the Akashic Records. And they stand around you. See these light beings placing their hands around your head. As you continue to breathe deep. They are working on your subconscious mind, your conscious mind, and connecting it with the superconscious, you may start to feel the energy of how your neural pathways within the brain and the mind are being rewired, reconnected. Meanwhile, your pineal gland and your mind, your crown chakra, are still connected with a golden thread of energy up into the Akashic Records. So you are in the Akashic Records. You're focusing there and also bringing these, hold these beings in your energy field. Continue to focus on them. This holds them in your field. And as you continue to focus, just let them do their work. Let them do the work. And they're connecting and rewiring your subconscious mind into your superconscious for your highest good. This helps to rewrite and delete the old programs of fear or ego-based thinking, the old tendencies of lack or anger or self-loathing, self-judgment or judgment of others. And as you continue to breathe deeply, and these beings are doing their work, the Akashic Healers, feminine and masculine aspects of the higher mind, instilling now within you hope, trust, joy, abundance and prosperity, connection to God, connection to Source, to Creator, self-confidence, inspiration, creativity, healing. Independence and interdependence. A sense of community. And a healthy and strong sense of individuality. Everything that you need to get to the next level. Become full circle. And as these beings are working with you, you may just picture or look into the energy. You may see them or see the energy shifting in and around your energy system, your energy fields, your mind field, your crown chakra, and the rest of your body, as they're bringing much healing energy into the body. Into the body. Holding the presence. Holding the presence. And the stillness you are healthy and whole. Perfect. And as these healers have done their work, they now start to leave your field and start to drift up. See them drifting up, back up, 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 into the records, into the Akashic field, back into the Akashic, the Hall of Records, into this golden temple, God's library. And now as you are standing in the Hall of Records, just see yourself start to come back down. The energy, the golden thread is now coming back down into your head. And when you're ready, just open your eyes and take a deep breath and start to move your body. And thank each and every one of you for taking the moments to participate in this healing energy, healing, blessing, and creating your next levels of consciousness and awareness. Amen. So, are you still there, Susan?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That was it. Fascinating in the sense that you actually answered the question that I asked in the meditation. Prior to it, as to what is the Akashic record, and I think we are all at a much, we can feel the energy shift. Very beautiful.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, it's a little different energy than we're used to feeling. It does have the Akashic Records, when you're in this energy, you're directly working with the energy of the soul. And it also has a feeling of of the heavenly realms of the Akashic Records themselves, of God's presence. This can be a little to a lot different than a lot of the other energies that we get used to feeling. As sentient beings and a spiritual being having a human experience, we focus through the mind, the heart, we focus through the ego, and we are using the human body to feel.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when we're feeling energies, we get used to sensing the energy of Reiki or sensing the energy, and all of these things are very good. All of these things are good. There are so many different meditations and healing techniques. You know, there's theta healing and quantum touch and matrix and reconnection and all of these different energies. We get used to feeling. So many times we want to have an energetic experience, and this gives us a confirmation that we're actually having an experience, that something is going on. The ego and we'll talk a little bit more about these subtle things with the ego. The ego, on some level, wants to know that it's having an experience, and this is all good. There are other levels of experiencing, and that's what we tap into when we go into the records. We go into the soul energy. We go into the radiance. So it's beyond, sometimes it's beyond the magnetic energies that we really feel in some of the other spiritual practices that we do. And again, I think it's all good because it all has its place, and we naturally gravitate or levitate. We naturally gravitate towards what we are drawn to, what works best for us in the moment, or is conducive to our knowledge, our higher learning, and our spiritual development at that time. You know, in the moment that it comes to us, and then as we either assimilate it, know it, and move on, or we utilize it and continue, you know, on a continual basis. And this is also good. Either way, we've come to know it. We've come to get in touch with the spiritual practices, the techniques, the tools, the dynamics, the energy feelings, all of these different various aspects. And this might help anyone else out there that's wants to have a greater understanding of this 11-11-11 energy, because at face value, if you're new to learning energetically or understanding and assimilating different paths, different energies, different teachers, it can seem a little bit energy has a glamour to it at face value. Now, again, this is not bad, but it's just a feeling of, and when we come together or advertise this vortexual energy, how are you going to use it? What is the purpose for it? That, I think that's the deeper question that we all need to be present to, not only on 11-11, but any time that we come together or we are utilizing the energy. If we are either individually or coming together just to feel energy, this is good, but what are we going to do with it? This will help move us to the next level as we're acknowledging and doing the work.
I appreciate that, because it's an active way of looking at how we choose to shift the planet, really, and through each one of ourselves. You know, it's a group and an individual choice. You know, I also like how you mentioned how there are different ways of experiencing the energy. You know, I used to feel that, and I still do sometimes, that I didn't meditate enough. You know, what is enough? And then one day I realized I was meditating all the time through my walking, and that my walking was a meditation in the park and nature. That's when I felt very, very connected. And so it's so important to know that there are so many different ways we can approach the energy. Just a small logistical note. I hear a little echo on the line.
Okay.
So I'm just making sure none of our computers are on the show. That's always, that can cause an echo.
Okay. I'm not hearing anything on this end.
Okay, I'm just going to do a little double check of the to see what's causing the echo. I feel like I'm being mirrored back to myself because I can hear my voice echoing back.
Sure.
Which is highly symbolic.
Sure.
It may also mean I'm supposed to listen because when I'm speaking, I hear it. When you're speaking, I don't. So I'm going to kind of mute myself a little bit and let you speak some more.
Okay. Well, I would like to just mention that I am really looking forward to coming up to the Northwest, to the Portland area or the greater Oregon region, and presenting a workshop that I do. It's called Journey to the Akasha, or Akashic Records, and the Keys to Spiritual Success. And in this advanced workshop, we cover many different topics. We learn spiritual and energy techniques for meditation, for energizing the body, the mind, the tissue, the energy fields, from many different paths of study. And so it's sort of a best of the best, if you will, of what I've studied over the past 17 years, and wanted to bring it together and share it in the vehicle of a workshop. We do a lot of the three main parts to the workshop are releasing conflict from the mind, body, and energy fields, stepping into enlightenment, and here we talk about becoming self-realized, becoming enlightened, when to recognize that these moments are happening, how to inspire them, which we do in the workshop, how to stream it once you recognize that you're in it. And this has transformative effects. So I've seen many people shift during the workshop. As we work for 2 to 3 days, you have time to really sit and think, relax. We hold a space that's protected. I never feel like we need a lot of protective energy around the workshop, but just by virtue of the energy itself, you know, you don't have to worry about other things. If you're prone to thinking in that direction, it's just not there. It's not present. So it's a very good feel. It's a very safe place to do emotional healing work. I see a lot of emotional healing happen in the workshop. I see a lot of life-changing ideas as people tap into the higher mind of the Akashic Records. And spiritual unfoldment, connecting with the masters. All of the masters use the Akashic Records, including Christ and Babaji. All of the other ascended ones, such as Saint Germain, and a lot of the Earth Masters, Earth Keepers. They're those who are still in body using the records. It unfolds itself and makes itself available to those of us, whether we would consider it to be a master or just a humble, hopeful individual who wants to know God. The Akashic Records open to each and every one of us as we're ready. So it is a collection of every thought, word, and deed, of every past, present, and future moment, of every past, present, and future lifetime. And that's quite extensive, quite vast. So you could literally find any information about anything And the only thing that's really required is, in order to access this energy, this information, is allowing yourself to be present and look into it. Now, the greatest use, as we were saying earlier, the greatest use of this tool, of this library, this place, is to know yourself. This is what we would consider to be the greatest command coming from Creator God to each soul as it goes out from its moment of creation across all time and space. Everlasting in all of the many expressions and through all of the many lifetimes, we know who we are. We have come to know who we are. And we literally do this in every single moment through our senses of the physical body. When you become present to this and really become present to the moment, then every single moment becomes a meditation. Every single moment becomes streaming, becomes timeless. You start to naturally unfold into what you would think of as an enlightened state of being. Interesting thing about enlightenment is that it's much quieter and much subtler than the ego, which is associated with it's looking into the spiritual matters that we are involved with, or the spiritual development, the self improvement or self-help things that we're working on, the life coaching. The ego is looking through the windows of perception. It's looking into the matters as we continue to work towards a higher study. I have to take a drink of water.
That's all right. I can't hear you. You awakened my dog at some point there. I had to mute myself. She's normally
so
quiet. But you are being welcomed with open arms, I know, to the Northwest to present this information. And I know that if there are people out there who would like you to come to their area as well, because we do have listeners in different areas, I want them to at least know where your website is, as well as they can also write to the show here. But philfarworld.com is your website. Maybe you can say where you can most easily be reached if someone did want to invite you to the area.
Sure. You can go to BillFossWorld.com. That's BillFossWorld.com. And there are three links, art, music, and spirit. And there's my art and music are there. I'm a visionary artist and musician. I've been doing this professionally for many years. So there's a lot to look at on the site, and I've split it up into three sections, art, music, and spirit. And if you click on the spirit link, it takes you to the classes, the testimonials, the different locations where classes are being presented. And there are email links throughout the site. There are a number of ways to get in touch with me there. The telephone number that you can reach me at is, if you're international, it's going to be 001 and then area code 918-770-3810. And you can call anytime, leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And the email is going to be bill@billfossworld.com. And so if you have questions about hosting a workshop, I would love to talk with you and see, you know, to see what our possibilities that we can consider as far as creating a situation for people to come together and learn. I truly enjoy traveling to different locations of the world and working with people. It is one of the most gratifying things to see somebody in the moment, in the moment when somebody gets it, when we get it, and we come to these understandings or these realizations, and the energy in the emotional body, in the energy field, in the mind, it relaxes or expands, and the soul energy is able to operate to start to come into the body and become more present. We start to get some real clarity. We start to get some real peace. And this is one of the dynamics that the masters talked about or pointed to over the ages, was that we're already enlightened and we just don't know it yet. So with that said, we're already enlightened and we just don't know it yet. When you come to an enlightened state of mind, as we say, nothing really changes. Nothing really changes except your perception of it. And that changes everything. So think about that for a minute. I'm going to say that again. When you come to an enlightened state of being, nothing really changes except for your perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes everything. It's both literal and figurative. So as you excuse me, as you start to become clearer and clearer, you're peeling the onion, so to speak. And sometimes there's a lot of crying, you know, as we're peeling the onion. So we're peeling back the layers of emotion, of ego, of fears, all of this stuff, and we become lighter and lighter and lighter. And we have these moments of pure peace and pure lucid transparency where everything is just so crystal clear, and we recognize this in the moment. There's a freedom that this is truly what we all aspire to as souls. And when we can get this in the physical moment, this is us looking at the world without conflict. And so nothing really changes except our perception of it in that moment, and that changes everything figuratively. And then quite literally, because we're changing our mind, we're changing our thought process, and so you naturally, from that point, start manifesting your life in a more effortless and creative way. It's really wonderful, inspiring work.
You know, we have people from many different spiritual persuasions here. I'm still hearing an echo, but I don't know if it's carrying forth on the show. It seems to be on the phone. Anyway, we're going to try that a bit, and that's why I'm going to let you talk a lot. Hopefully I won't wear out your voice. But the question that we often get on this show is, well, there are two questions. Why are we here? And why is it so challenging on the planet? Why is there so much darkness? That's a really difficult question with some of the darker things that happen on the planet.
Uh-huh.
How would you answer that from your enlightened perspective?
So the phone cut out just...
it's echoing. I'm going to talk to the chat to see the sound.
Okay, what was the first question, Susan? It was, why are we here?
Why are we here?
Why are we here?
Okay. And then the second question was, the world seems to have a lot of lights and darks and challenges associated with that.
Right, and others in the chat are saying they're hearing the echo.
Okay.
And so we're going to see what we can do with the technical issue.
Okay.
So just keep talking that you are not echoing, Bill. That means you're supposed to talk.
Oh. Okay, well, I'll do my best.
So we don't have to go all for 2 hours. I mean, however long you feel.
Okay. Well, why are we here? That's when we really start to look into all of these different experiences. That's really the hidden question, or the silent question that each and every one of us is asking in each and every moment. From the perspective of the ego, looking out through the senses. We're here to know ourselves in relation to Creator God, our surroundings, each other, and ourselves. We're here to know who we are in the moment as divine souls and divine beings. That is the number one reason why we're here. Like so many of the other higher precepts, it's quite simple, actually. And that doesn't make it any easier to understand at some times. But so we're literally here to know who we are. We're literally here to observe the world around us. In this dynamic of knowing, and it was stated in the Bible as to know thyself. So know thyself means to know ourselves, know who we are. This is numero uno. Above and beyond the Ten Commandments, and I don't mean to challenge anyone spiritually who is associated with Bible study in any way. If we know who we are, if we truly know who we are, then all of those other instructions, we'll call it instructions, instead of commandments, this knowing, the knowing of the self, is the greatest, we'll say, quote unquote, greatest or most important or key or core instruction from Creator God to us energetically and harmonically, to know who we are in each and every moment. There are three dynamics going on through this knowing or this observing. Creator God is connected with us and is operating in us, as us, and through us. Our soul, our divine celestial soul, is operating in us, as us, through us. And then our lower aspect of the body and the brain, the ego, is operating in us, as us, through us. So we have three different beings or entities or levels of consciousness operating in us, as us, through us at the same time. These three levels are very subtle. And this is because they're behind the scenes and they're running the show. So we know this about God. When we open to God's love, we feel it in the heart. There are other ways that we experience God or the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we become very, either we trust and we know and we let it go. For some of us, we become very present to an energy field that starts to happen as you continue your spiritual studies and experiences. At some point, whether you care about it or not, you're going to become more sensitive to the energy dynamics. So that stated, back to these three levels of awareness coming through the body, they shift from one to the next. God, soul, or the ego, personality, coming through the senses, coming through the senses of the physical body. That means the sight, the sound, the smell, the taste, the touch, the feeling, the sentient feeling of the body. All of these are looking through us constantly. Usually one is dominant. So we know of spiritual practices that, and also ways of thinking, maybe affirmations or meditative processes, either it's a prayer in the moment or it's a longer meditative process where we merge with God. We have others where we merge with the soul. And then we have our normal everyday mode of survival in the physical world, dealing with the surroundings. And this is, excuse me, this is the ego's job. That is quite literally the ego's job. We get confused with the ego. We get confused about the ego's place. The ego's job is only to ensure the survival of the physical body up until the point that the higher mind is ready to take over, or the soul. At that point, the ego relinquishes its control, and we naturally gravitate or levitate up into the higher mind. The ego naturally gravitates up into the higher mind, integrates with the higher mind, and we start to operate from the soul. This is where we reach into a state of enlightenment. With the material that we study in the workshops, we look at the soul. We literally look at it. We look into the ego. We start to disarm the ego. The ego, many people feel that when they start to threaten the ego is going to threaten life, threaten the manifestation process. All of the things that we've come to know and feel comfortable with. And let me share with you, if I can, just a thought about that. As an artist and musician over the years, I created prolifically. And as I started one of my spiritual paths, I think it was Kriya Yoga, there were certain requirements that we were asked to adhere to. And as I came home and started this process, my ego became threatened. And I thought to myself, am I going to be dead to the world? I mean, am I going to become a monk? Is life over? And I'm here to tell you that in that moment, that was my question. And so I decided to go ahead with it. I thought, okay, well, I'll just try this. I came to a realization within the next 60 days that as I started that process, the perception was the ego was still intact, but it had elevated to into the higher mind. I was still who I was, and that was important to me. This is a question that's important to a lot of people. So in studying spiritually or opening to into the studies of becoming enlightened or spiritual development, let me just assure you, you will not become lost to the world. You're just going to be able to get the best of the best from you that you deserve for yourself and that you've actually been waiting for and looking to express. So that's inspirational, and it's something that we can look forward to.
Yes, and actually, you know that I called it from another line. That's really interesting. That hasn't happened. I guess we're supposed to listen to you, Bill, so that means anyone who calls in will echo. Not to elevate your ego or anything, but I'm kidding. But I appreciate what you have to say about the ego. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think it's often confused as to how we position the ego.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So the other comment or question that you, the second part of that is, you were talking about what is our, what is our place in the world? And why does the world have so many lights and darks? Well, couple thoughts to share on this level. Here's an interesting thing to consider, that there really is no conflict in the world. There really is no conflict, except in the minds and the hearts of people. At the first look or the first glance, if someone would say there's really no conflict in the world, you know, the ego may say, well, how can you say that? You know, there's this and there's this and there's this. God has a natural process, and the earth has a natural process. And many of the conflicts that are going on, well, these are literally and quite fundamentally created from our minds. You know, we're enacting these things. So this doesn't take away from, you know, there are, you know, goods and bads and rights and wrongs. But for the purpose of learning, for the purpose of understanding who we are, see, we're back to this knowing the self.
Yes.
So there the ego and the mind start wanting to think, well, you know, there's good and there's bad and there's right and there's wrong, and we created this stuff and we're doing these things. And then, so for the purposes of learning and understanding, just for the purposes of learning about ourselves, we're back to, if we look at it from a perfect point of view, from a clear, completely clear, there is no conflict. And with the perception through the senses, and this is one thing that the yogis, the masters, the teachers and the healers, the ascended ones or the great beings or philosophers of today and throughout history have all talked about and seen, like Gandhi, Paramahansa Yogananda, these great teachers. They saw this unity. They saw the light of God in every single face and every single eye. And this is the way it translated. They were able to see humanity past any of that conflict and see the completeness or the clearness the simplicity, the no conflict in every, you know, in every single moment and expression. And so with all, with the lights and the darks of this world, the reason why this is a very interesting world, there are not many places like this world. In this world, the physical manifestation and where we are evolutionary-wise, we have a very interesting chakra system. We have a very developed chakra system. In comparison to even some higher level beings in other worlds, some of the other higher level beings, that what we would consider to be higher level beings, their energy systems may not be as developed as ours is. So that makes us very unique. That makes the human expression or the human body, mind, spirit a very well-rounded in comparison to what's happening in many of the other planets and worlds. With this, we have the ability to do great things, like many of the masters have done, the healing, the manifesting, the as we evolve, as we continue to evolve, there are many, 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 many souls that are just waiting for the opportunity to have the human experience. So as we're in human form with all of the trials and tribulations and the trial and error of learning and growing up and the challenges of being in physical form and learning and trying to look past fighting with each other. The choices, that's a good way to put it. There are many, with all of the seeming pains and fears that we have in the 3D realm, on the other side, there are souls, and we as well, said, I'll do it. Each and every one of us said, no matter what it was. So this is what people were talking about when they hear healers or teachers say, well, you chose that.
Yes.
I've heard a lot of people say, if I hear someone tell me that one more time.
That's true.
But we chose it harmonically. It wasn't that we signed an actual contract or anything, but we chose that harmonically, and we said, I will do it, you know. When we spoke with Creator, looked in the records, and here it was laid out through our learning of the soul said, I choose that. I'm going. And so there's literally trillions of souls looking to incarnate here, to have an experience. And the funny thing about, one of the funny things about the human experience, when we start to study metaphysically, so many of us are trying to get out of form. And there are, you know, billions and billions of souls just longing and yearning to have the expression of being in human form. So so us just being here, us, just the act of us being here in this body is literally a miracle. It's literally a miracle from moment to moment. And we get really present with that. It's life-changing. We are,
and I guess that's part of why we're here, to experience that.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, and look at all the things we have here to experience.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you look around, take a moment from that point of view, just to look around at the many textures and colors of the surroundings in the room that you're in. It's absolutely amazing.
You know, I think that when I go for a walk, that just how beautiful this earth is. And like you said, even the room, the colors and all the experiences, tastes of the food that we have, everything.
Oh, yes, I agree.
But I'm still trying to limit my conversation. This is so unusual that we have. I can't do anything about it technically on this side, although I will check into it before the show.
Sure.
But I'm going to allow you to. I don't want to wear your voice out because I know you've been traveling and some respiratory things have often come traveling.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave that up to your guidance as to where you want to go.
Okay. I'd just like to share. As we were talking personally, I wanted to share the the experience of I was just in Vienna, Austria for 10 days and had the wonderful experience of working with people there in a workshop, Journey to the Akasha, The Keys to Spiritual Success, and private sessions. 3 days of private sessions before and after the workshop, and it was wonderful. It's so wonderful to see people actually getting it, see people ready to do the work, taking the notes, you know, doing the energy exercises and benefiting as part of their life training and their development. So we really had fun in the workshop, and a good time was had by all. And then I got to do a little bit of sightseeing while I was there. Now I'm back, and I'm looking forward to coming up to your area, Susan, in the Portland area, and presenting. And I believe we have some workshops coming up in the L.A. area, Los Angeles area, and New York as well.
And so, someone from the chat asked about New Orleans. If you would be interested in coming out there.
I would love to. So if they would like to send me an email and discuss possibilities of hosting a workshop, I would be open to that. Would love to teach there.
Well, I think that what you have to share is powerful and teaching. And I have a feeling you're going to get invitations worldwide more and more. And you are working on a book. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? I know that you have a book coming up on much the same topic.
Yes, Susan. I'm working on a book right now. It's going to be out in the spring of 2012, and it's called The Keys to Spiritual Success, Keys to the Art of an Abundant Lifestyle. And with this book, I'm sharing a lot of insights that are coming naturally during the writing process as Spirit is using it for a tool to reach people, as well as a lot of the information that I share from the workshops. So this is going to be one book of a few that will be coming out in the next few years, the first book of a few, should I say. And there's a lot of information contained from the workshop, and a lot of other things that aren't shared in the workshop as well. So it's really God's, another vehicle of God reaching you, the reader or the listener, and it will be available at Amazon. It will be available as an electronic book. I will also have it with me on like a CD or a DVD form as I'm traveling and, you know, doing the workshops. So we'll have it there for everyone that comes, or the you know, the public speaking engagements, and then it will be in printed form as well. So I'm really excited about it. One thing that came up, I never really expected to write a book, and
for many people.
As I started to teach it, you know, with the Akashic Records classes, we work on it and developing the intuition. That's the other thing. If I didn't really mention anything about that earlier with the Akashic Records, it is about developing the intuitive powers. So it is closely linked to psychic abilities and the higher mind functions of all of this. as there are many gifted natural intuitives that come to take the workshop to enhance their abilities or their gifts, and there are many people, many healers or intuitives that are working with other people that will come to take the workshop. This is another good tool. If you're working with others, then it's great for this. They would come to take the workshop, and every once in a while someone would say, "You're going to be writing a book." And it would sort of, you know, hit me out of left field, and I would just say, "Okay." And then it started to materialize earlier this year. So as I had time and was able to sit and get quiet, the information started coming through. And so it's just been the next creative task, I guess, would be one way to put it. So I'm busy painting, and I've got the spiritual art and the soul portraits, the mandalas that I work with, also the meditation music that I'm developing constantly, guided meditations that are recorded in CD form and for downloads, and now the book. So,
well, you're multidimensionally working. I may try something technically, if you don't mind. We're pretty casual.
Sure.
I'm going to see if I can kind of restart the line, so that, because I'm being told that there's an echo, and then we can have a much more effective conversation closing this out. And if something happens, and we have to close it out in the archive, we'll do that, but I don't think that'll occur. So if you're open to my trying to reset this, since it does seem to be a Blog Talk Radio issue, all you have to do is stay there. And you can talk about something, or I can even play a little music. And at a future time, I'd like to have some of your music available. We don't have that today. If you feel comfortable, then we can continue our conversation.
Yeah, sounds great, Susan.
Okay, so if you want to talk, or would you rather I play a little music?
Say again?
It's so weird, I know, because of the echo. I'm going to put a little music on. Just
okay,
stay on
good.
The line, okay?
Sounds good. We're standing by.
All right. All right. Okay, I'm back on the line, and I don't hear the echo anymore. Oh, no, now I do hear it. Okay, so you know what? It's coming from your end. Call back in, Bill. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just leave the show and just call the number right back, and I'll bring you right back on.
Sounds good. I'll see you in...
Okay. All right, we're here waiting for Bill to come back. But thankfully, we sort of diagnosed the problem. I'll tell you that I have a background from the past as a computer scientist, which makes me very focused on resolving any kind of technical issue. It's funny how these things stay with us when we are left brain thinkers, so to speak. Okay, let's see. I see Bill coming back in, so I'm going to see if we can bring him back on and see if the echo is gone. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, no. That would be funny. You know what? It's gone. It must
Excellent.
Have been some kind of Blog Talk Radio thing. You know, sometimes there's a lesson in this. You know, I was just commenting on the show how in my past life, before I got so engaged in spiritual things, although I still pursue it a little, I was a computer scientist. I actually have a master's degree in computer science. And so when there's
wow.
a technical issue, my little problem solver, you know, really wants to get in motion. And sometimes
Great.
You have to take a little risk. I have never done that before where I've actually disconnected myself from the show and called back in. So there
oh,
was
wow.
a little risk involved. I mean, let's look at the symbolism here.
Yeah.
In doing that on 11/11/11, I was required to do something totally new on the air live.
Wow.
And it also brought forward something from my past, which, you know, was that problem solver, although it wasn't that difficult of a problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And then we figured out, you know, you're isolating the variables. And once I called in and there was no echo, we knew as soon as we brought you back, oh, the echo was coming from that direction. And so, anyway, not so much the problem itself, but the lesson of taking a little risk, even when you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, isn't that why we're here
exactly.
as souls?
Absolutely.
It's so true. We also have another caller on the line. I don't know if you would, that seems to be, I think that Spirit is guiding us to shift the energy a little bit. Are you open to taking some questions?
I sure am.
Okay, and I'm going to just tell my audience, since we have some spontaneous callers here, that you can continue to participate in the chat, or feel free to call in at 310-807-5104 if you have a question for Bill on this day, or if you just want to talk with us for and share in the energy of this day. We have about a half hour left on the scheduled show time. So I'm going to go ahead and bring this person on the line who is coming from area code 469. And again, this is a casual, relaxed format. So unless occasionally we may have a call screener, someone who talks to people before they come on the air, but for this kind of show, we don't. So we're just going to talk to this person and bring them in. So, are you at area code 469? Would you like to talk on the Frontier Beyond Fear to Bill?
No, not right at this moment. I'm at work, but
okay.
I'm just wanting to
Are you
in.
Listening in then? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so it was a listener.
Oh, okay,
Are you still
great.
There? No, it's okay.
Yeah.
She just had called in to listen, apparently. Sometimes that occurs,
oh.
too. But
oh, okay,
when we do Saturday night formats, this show we do on Saturday night sometimes, and we might bring you in sometimes if you're ever open to that. We tend to have a lot of interaction on Saturday night.
Great.
Where people ask personal questions, and it's a different
sure.
format. And some people I have who come in, and they're actually used to this, they actually call in to listen, which is a somewhat unusual feature of Blog Talk Radio that if your computer isn't working quite right or whatever, you can actually hear the show on the line.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, if anyone else does have a question, they're free to call at 310-807-5104. But otherwise, we'll continue what should now be a much easier conversation since we're not hearing all the echoing. So, you know, I think one question I wanted to ask you, I know that when I heard you speak in Los Angeles and also some today, what I like about what you're able to do, Bill, is you bring in many different spiritual paths. So tell us, if someone is from, you know, maybe just waking up, not, and I don't even want to characterize it that way, maybe they could be fully awake on a different path, because I'm not going to be judgmental of different paths, because there's so many ways of being awakened in this world and being connected spiritually. Say someone isn't, you know, that familiar with the Akash, or even some New Agey, I hate to use that word, but they might characterize it that way, coming from a different perspective, an open-minded Christian, or someone who, you know, wants to, who thinks about angelic energies, for example, and is comfortable with that terminology. How do those people come to the energy of your work? How do you reach out to people from different spiritual persuasions?
Okay, that's a great question and a thought, Susan. The dynamic that works well with this work, as well as studying not only spiritual paths or different different perspectives or different arenas of thought, one dynamic that occurs very naturally with this is that when we experience something different than what we're used to, it sort of pushes or it opens the doors of perception. It pushes us to experience new things as far as what we thought was possible. So if you're if someone is in a spiritual path and they're just on the path and they're doing fine with it, it could be that they're doing great with it, they're doing fine with it, it's giving to them, but they've just become so complacent with it that they need something to sort of enhance or be supplemental to what they're doing. Let's say if they're practicing Buddhism, or they're Catholic, or they're Christian, this work that I'm presenting works well with any religious path that you're on, and it will just enhance, inspire, and actually connect you, help you to connect in with the teachers, the teachings, the masters associated with the study, and for you to get greater or deeper personal understandings concerning your own path, what your relation to that path is, why you're drawn to that path. Were you on that path previously in another expression or another lifetime? And also, have you experienced that multiple times over and over? So we're creatures of habit, and we can also be creatures of habit with our soul's journey.
What if people are a little bit afraid? I often will run into people, especially, you know, I came from a very conservative Christian path, and when I first started to look into things that were outside of the box that I had allowed myself to be in for a time, I did have some fear, because, you know, some of these paths will warn you, you know, be careful about anything outside the box kind of thing. And how do you respond to people who are, you know, they really do want to open up, and yet they're also at the same time expressing, but I'm kind of afraid. How do you respond to that? How do you reassure those who they really are open or opening up to whatever it is, but still have some fears of even the teachings themselves or the spirits, you know, are these going to be okay spirits that we're interacting with, that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, it's all out there, that's for sure. And I thank you for bringing up that question. That's a good thing to relate and talk about. The importance or the focus of the classes being presented, let's say the Friday evening in the all-weekend workshop that I'm presenting, is that we really address all of these issues. So if you want to know what spirit guides are, if you want to know what the spirit guides are in relation to ghost energy or ascended masters or the angelics or the angels and archangels in the angelic realm and how these relate to humanity, how these relate to personal experience, where they are, where they aren't, how to access them, how they show up on the physical plane, different the different paths, all of these many questions. So about the spirit guides and the different energy forms, different spiritual paths we touch on. We talk about different spiritual masters through history. We talk about different levels of energy. We talk about psychic awareness. We talk about intuition. We talk about the Akashic records. So when somebody leaves this class, they have a much greater understanding of who they are in relation to the reality of these different dimensions and the real world, what's actually going on. So they've gotten in touch with their ego. They've looked directly at the ego. They've challenged the ego in order to release it, embrace it, and they've looked into the soul. We've done energy work, so we get in touch with the earth. We talk about earth changes, past, present, and future, including 2012, and the dynamics of what to expect and beyond. We look into the soul. We look extensively into the Akashic records, which is the system of God's library. This ancient mystical tradition, what has been quietly used by the groups and by masters for working with people, for teaching and for knowing and for understanding. And so when somebody, in answer to your question, as we continue to give information on this, when somebody comes to the class and then leaves, even if they just use one or two of many exercises that are presented in the course, it's going to be life-changing. And also with the spiritual information, let's just call it information, if they get one thing that expands their view. So let's say if somebody, somebody was a devout Christian or a devout Catholic, but something is telling them, either their soul or God or some aspect of them is drawing them to this class for a certain, as we all get drawn towards certain classes or events in life. And they have a conflict within themselves. They're thinking, I don't know why, but I think I'm supposed to go to this. But this is so strange and so odd because this is not the sort of thing that I'm drawn to. So then someone comes into the class and they start listening, and maybe there's one thing or two things or three things or so forth and so on. Something is said in that class that speaks to that individual, and all of a sudden, bang or bam, they're open. So their rigid belief system has been challenged, or maybe it's just been added to very gently and gracefully. So if you get one thing, only one little tidbit of information that helps you to look past and beyond something that has been limited, whether the person believes it or not, it helps us to open to the next level. And that's all what we want to do. So we're, some people are ready to have, you know, that 11-11 experience. They, you know, they're ready to ascend right now. And there's always the possibility of this. If somebody wants to have a very profound spiritual experience, I've seen a lot of this happen in the workshops, but also to know that everything in the workshop is based on a gradual, beautiful, even, wonderful opening into spirit, into the next levels of understanding. So it highly and truly supports whatever the Christian path that you're on, or Catholic, or Mormon, or Hindu, or you name it. There are aspects of this study that relate to every single path.
You know, I have found that, and I'll tell you the reason why I asked this question is because we do have listeners to this audience, or in my audience, who are part of a group called Portland Christians with Questions. And this is a growing group in Portland. And these are people who, they come generally from a conservative background. However, they're opening up to new ideas and trying to figure out how to incorporate that into what they believe, and even asking some challenging questions about some difficult concepts like hell and things like that. And we've talked about this on the show. And what I have found is that when, number one, is that you can sense, you can discern the unconditional love of a teacher and the energy, even however you want to express it, deep in your heart, when you can, you can tell when someone is immersed in love in their message. You just simply know. And, you know, everything that comes through you, Bill, is a very loving, loving, supportive, reassuring energy. And I will also say that on this show at times when we've had different guests, I've actually had the head of that group on this show a few times, and we'll get the most general questions like, what do you mean by higher consciousness? What is that anyway? You know, they've heard these terms. And then we'll often find, depending on what their experience has been, because there are meditative experiences within Christianity, there are deeply reflective, there are higher, you know, really profound experiences, all of a sudden they realize they've been doing it all along and in a different way. It's just that there's some fear-based things that they need to get rid of that maybe are holding them back. And that's the most fascinating thing I have discovered. I had I ran into someone at a workshop who was running an energy healing class, and there were people in her class who just seemed to know what they were doing. And she said, have you ever done this before? And they said, no, but we used to lay on hands in the Christian church, and it seems like it's the same. Isn't that fascinating?
That's wonderful. Yeah.
If that isn't our oneness, I mean, we think we're divided. This is what I've really discovered. And you know, you and I both know, there aren't these divisions. I mean, there are fears that can keep us, there are things that can block us, there are things like, but we're not nearly as on, we're not on such different pages as we think sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
It's terminology sometimes, and, you know, certain teachings that sort of block us, but all of a sudden when it opens up, it's amazing how you begin to find, wow, I have been doing this a little all along, or somehow you knew all along, and you just didn't realize you knew.
That's great,
And I sense one of the things that's nice about your work. See, now that I'm not echoing, I can just talk all day, so you got to watch it.
Yay!
Just kidding.
No, you go, girl.
No, we do like to have a nice, we do converse on this show. So it is hard when I'm limited, but that was a lesson for me too. One of the things I like about your work, Bill, is just what I've seen of it at the conference and the exposure I've had to it so far. You certainly open the door to many different paths, and it really is a very loving, supportive energy. Nothing to be threatened by or afraid of. It will only help bring you farther in your experience, whatever it is.
Oh, well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate that, and that that's inspirational and helps, you know, and it's nice to hear. It helps me to continue to do what I'm doing, because that's the reason why it's being done, is to, you know, just help to present the information to people, to get it to them as practically as possible, so we can talk about all of these things that are etheric, or all of the dynamics that surround these things. And when we're talking about these higher concepts or energy concepts that can seem sometimes otherworldly, as the ego and the mind and the body and the soul is all trying to make sense of this and bring it into the perspective within the self, within the individual's view, if we can talk about it practically and find the right words, then we can plug it in. You know, we can plug it in right away and then expand on it from there.
Can I ask you another question? What if someone's in a lot of pain or anguish right now, and they're really looking, you know, they're in need of healing, or things are really difficult for them right now? How can these, studying these things assist them as well? What would you say to people like that? Because I seem to be running into a lot of people in this place right now where they want so much. You know, I was in this place once. It was like, please, Spirit, show me the way. That was my question. And I was in anguish at the time, but it's what freed me. My anguish was a pathway to peace, at least a relative peace in the moment, as many moments as possible. But yeah, what can you say to people who are listening to this and saying, wow, he sounds so peaceful and it sounds so wonderful, oh, but I am in such pain right now because of, you know, either healing, financial difficulties, anything going on in their lives. What would you say?
Sure. Well, Susan, I agree with you. That is your question or your prayer to God or Spirit, that please, God, show me the way. This is, I use this every once in a while, and I have used this with conviction. Somebody is out there and they're really, really challenged by physical pain or emotional unrest, or needing help financially. Just sit down and get comfortable and get quiet and just say, please, God, show me the way. Or, you know, and this is so helpful. And the other thing that you can do is, if you can really get in touch with God, and, you know, you don't have to know a lot about God. This is the good thing. If you don't know God and beyond any spiritual path, if you don't know God and just say, God, I don't know you, but I need help, please. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, could you please lend a hand? And if the person can also just make a motion to hand it over to God, ask for it to be taken off the shoulders, then there's an interesting dynamic that has seen miraculous things take place for people. And when we get loaded down with things in life, one less thing on our shoulders sometimes can give us the courage and the strength just to be able to get to the next thing, to be able to get to the next scene of the movie. And you don't have to have a lot of knowing in order to ask. You know, there's so many different scriptures in the Bible that point to this. Ask and it will be given to you. You know, just the in humility and humbleness, somebody not knowing and just asking.
There's a surrender in that question, and it kind of is a surrender of the ego, is what it is too. It's opening up, and you're not getting rid of yourself. I mean, you're still you. It's like a first step in trust. And, you know, for me, it was sort of like, what do you have to lose? You know, even if you don't believe it, even if you're an atheist, you know, if you just put out the question, hey, you know, if there's a higher power out there, please show yourself. Although I'll warn people out there, when you really, I don't want to say warn perhaps, but let me advise people that when you do that, some pretty amazing things can happen. So be prepared, because that's what happened to me, is that within
weeks,
very magical things happened. And I had a really dramatic awakening at the time, because I finally asked that question in all sincerity, and I meant it. I was ready to open up to what was true and real. And so, you know, I don't want to warn people. I want to just say just a word of advice. Be prepared for miracles, which is not anything to be afraid of at all, because that's what you can begin to experience. I mean, this world isn't what we think it is it, Bill? I mean, when we're first taught about it anyway.
Right. And you're so right, Susan. That's great. I wanted to add one thing to what you're saying. As we were talking about giving it over to God, somebody really needs help, and you can just come to the point where you just humbly say, God, you know, I want to give this over to you. So the mind or the person, we get some relief in getting it off our chest or handing it over. Maybe we're going through some sort of emotional suffering or torture or pain, of heartbreak or a lost loved one. If we give this over to God, we need help in other areas. If we can give it over to God, it's not like we're relinquishing our responsibility to it. The way that it works is that you hand it off to God, and God uses you as a tool to get whatever you need done. So it's consciously you're there and here at the same time. You're with God and it's coming through you. And
well, you know, it's omnipresence, right? I mean, so many people believe God is everywhere, right? So don't forget that God's in you too. So many times we forget that. That God is everywhere. Bill, we're nearing the end of the show, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to maybe close it out. It'll have to be fairly brief because we have about 5 minutes before the closing music. I wanted to give you the opportunity to energetically bring things to a close today for this 11-11-11 experience. And we've had a wonderful meditation. Anyone who's joined us later, we have had people joining us later in the chat. Please, I encourage you to go back in the archive and listen to the guided meditation. Find a quiet space. It's a really good experience that I think you'll appreciate that Bill gave us today. So, and I do want to thank you also, Bill, for being with us today and in this diverse show, both a real interesting conversation and then also that guided experience, which was powerful. Is there something you'd like to do energetically to lead us into the rest of our day today?
Sure. Let's, as in relation to what we were just talking about, a very interesting and simple, prayerful, meditative exercise that we can do. And we'll just do this here for a few moments as we close out the show. Is let's connect to God's love, and let's just see an emerald green or an emerald green energy in the heart, and just start to breathe in God's love, and just think of God's love, Creator, and just start to breathe in God's love. Breathe God's love into the heart. And as you breathe in God's love, breathe out God's love. And so you breathe in God's love. And breathe out God's love. Green energy in the heart. And as you continue breathing in and breathing out God's love, you may feel it in the heart. And this God's love has the magic to transform everything that we need help with emotionally, spiritually, energetically, physically, for healing, for manifesting. Just continue to breathe in God's love for a few moments. And breathe out God's love. And as you breathe in God's love, you may know someone else who needs some help or needs healing that you would like to send energy to. And as you breathe out, just send God's love out to that person. This is God's gift to them through you. Green energy in the heart. Breathing in God's love and breathing out God's love. And whenever you need, just take a few moments and sit quietly and start to breathe God's love into the heart. And you will feel it. Because God, Creator God, is connected with every single one of us. And Creator God loves each and every one of us. So I would like to thank everyone for listening and tuning in to do the work. Many blessings to each and every one of you on your spiritual journey in life. And enjoy the 1111 energy.
Yes, peace to everyone, and may you experience the love of this day. And thank you, Bill.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Susan.